Good afternoon, and welcome to another episode of We the People Radio. My name is Aaron Ryan.
Hi, Aaron. My name is Bill Cundiff.
Did you think I was going to forget?
Oh, no. No. I thought you were right on target. No worries. Hey, our sponsor this hour is Pape Machinery, our local John Deere ag and turf dealer. Pape is located at 3119 Twin View Boulevard up in Shasta Lake City, right off I-5. And you could see them for John Deere tractors, mowers, implements. Go in and see them. They got it all going on up there. They got Honda generators, steel products, full line, full service. Give them a call, 226-9226, or catch them on the web at papemachinery.com.
Ta-da!
There you go.
So, let's see. Today is April 25th, 2021, just in case we replay this and we say something that's, I don't know, date specific. I know sometimes I play things after the fact, and I guess the worst one was when we had changed presidents. We played something from during the Obama administration, during the Trump administration. People are like, you can't say that about the president. They're all mad. Like, I guess we just didn't.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, word to the wise. Use their name. Don't call them just the president, huh? But the president right now is a... kind of a numbskull, so we're back to that again. We could replay all those Obama shows, and everything we said would be accurate.
The good news is he doesn't know he's a numbskull.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true. And no matter how many times people tell him that, doesn't matter. So we're getting a little rain today, which is kind of nice, and we can only cross all of our little fingers that the Bureau of Reclamation doesn't waste it all before our farmers have a chance to use it. That would be something I would...
The fish are going to make it, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Kill the fish. I'm about ready to start like a new campaign. Well, I'm ready for my Edible Species Act, actually.
Yeah.
The new ESA, the Edible Species Act, where if we can't eat it, we don't need it.
Yeah. I like it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I used it on the signature line of my email. I got a lot of hate for that.
Throwing down the hate.
I don't know why. I thought it was kind of funny. And sort of true.
Yeah.
People are sick of the stupid Endangered Species Act ruining everyone's life. So
I'm going to go buy some Chinook salmon, I think, today.
And throw it away?
No, I think I'll smoke it.
Nice. I like that. So we have two really fun guests for you today. And I don't know. Fun's probably the wrong word. We're using fun in the sense that you'll like them. You will like them and you'll learn things. How about that? That's our kind of fun. So the first hour, we're going to talk about the China's historic persecution of the Falun Gong. We've spoken to you a lot about the...
organ harvesting.
Yes, thank you. The forced organ harvesting and the Falun Gong are really the... They were the original... Well, I shouldn't say original. I don't know that. But they're really the target, a big target of political persecution over there in China. You hear a lot about the Uyghurs, but the Falun Gong were... being brutalized long before that. And our guest, Dr. Shizong Chen, has a tremendous amount of information there. Second hour, just to give you a little clue there, the dictatorship of woke capital, which I think you'll like. He has, Stephen Sokup has written a book, and I think you will find that interesting. So we're going to switch it up today and do two different things. So Dr. Chen has been on with us before. I would encourage you to go back and listen to previous shows on China. We have a tab at the top of the page marked China for your easy review. You can go back and learn all sorts of things. We won't be recapping everything because obviously that's too hard. But Dr. Chen's been active in projects concerning China for over 30 years. He's founded, co-founded, or been spokesperson for a number of organizations concerning China and has spoken extensively on issues related. He began his activism in 1989 when he helped organize supporting activities during the 1989 Beijing student movement. He was outraged by the June 4th massacre, and he founded the Tiananmen Square Foundation. He served on the board of the Press Freedom Guardian and was elected vice president of the Independent Federation of Chinese Students and Scholars in the U.S. And At 15, he entered the gifted program at China University Science and Technology. Then he came to the U.S. That's how he wound up here. And in 1982 to study and receive his PhD in molecular biology at the University of California, San Diego. And he currently owns and runs a molecular biology startup in San Diego. So there's more about him on the web. You can find it at wethepeopleradio.us. So, I could take a breath now.
There you go.
I'm coming up for air. Hi, Dr. Welcome. Chen.
Welcome, Dr. Chen. Nice talking to you again.
Nice to be back, and thank you for having me today.
Sure.
For this historical date. Back in 1999, April 25th, peaceful petition, was a event that covered widely by international media for a different reason than later. Later, the April 25th peaceful petition or demonstration, more petition, was reported positively. And many news media, now you look back, they're in the habit of finding positive things to say about the Chinese government. So at that time, it was no different. The April 25th petition was praised by international media for the Chinese government's rationale, resolution, or dialogue on that event and peacefully ending that petition. So that was then. But after July 20th and until now, international media now attribute that peaceful petition. They now leave the peaceful out. Now they attribute the persecution of the CCP of Falun Gong to that gathering by over 10,000 Falun Gong practitioners. So I need to point this out first. Before Falun Gong, it was historical. For me, it's very personal. And so why Falun Gong is why the April 25th petition is historical? First of all, it is a unprecedented peaceful petition by Chinese people under the CCP for spiritual freedom. Now, there are other peaceful demonstration petitions, but for spiritual freedom, this was the first under CCP, right? And for actually ever, right? Because before CCP, the Chinese people never need to petition for spiritual freedom. Or if we use the language in English, let's say, in other language, it would be for religious freedom. But really, it's for Chinese people, it's a spiritual freedom. It's a petition for them, for those who are there, is to petition for the right to be pious, to be moral, to be good people. And if we think about it now, it's actually for the right to be left alone and for the right of conscience.
Can you tell us why that is? Why is that such a big threat to them? To the CCP?
Because those are the things that we cannot afford to give people. And if we are not careful, this may be the things that our own government cannot afford to give us. Right. But we'll come back to that later. I'll talk more about that for sure. And then the second reason it was historical is because the April 25th, as we know now, it was an set up by the CCP at that time, okay, and used as an excuse by Jiang Zemin, the head of the CCP at that time, to persecute Falun Gong. And he was successful because international, as I say, international media still use that event as a reason to explain away the CCP's persecution of Falun Gong. And then, if we have time, then I would like to say a few words about what has happened since then, the significance to what's happening around the world, particularly in the United States. And I want to share a little bit of my personal experience about April 25th. There are plenty of articles talk about the participants of the peaceful petition, their experience. I am actually a benefactor of that event. I was in a Falun Gong petition at that time, so I was a bystander observer, half a globe away. I was in the United States, but that event impacted me and actually changed my life completely. So on the morning of April 25th, I received an email from a friend, democracy activist. So, as Aaron mentioned earlier, that I have been actively participating in pro-democracy activist activities to support freedom in China. And so I was very active in that, and I originally placed the hope of China on democracy. But towards 1990s, I began to lose my hope because I saw that China's main issue is no longer whether it's a democratic. And the problem are also not solvable by democracy, but rather is a destruction of morality and destruction of environment. So I become disillusioned and become desperate. And the only hope that I have at that time was hope itself. Now, this is maybe hard to explain, because I see no hope, but I still hold out a hope. Somewhere there may be a hope. When people can see that hope, maybe they will pick up their confidence, see the hope in China. And that was me. And I see a lot of people like that, like me. But where the hope? I don't see any hope at that time, right? So I become less and less active in terms of pro-democracy activists, but I still have a connection with that group. So this was the email from that group. We have a circle of pro-democracy activists. And in that email, a friend of mine asked, anybody heard about Falun Gong? And he said, over 10,000 Falun Gong practitioners stage a petition in front of the Chinese government or the CCP headquarters. And I didn't care at that time. I didn't pay attention because I thought, who cares? with how badly things were. 10,000 people, 100,000 people, a million people, anywhere to have a petition, I wouldn't be surprised. Right? And then the next day, many English media start to cover this. And then looking at a picture, a friend of mine said, oh, this is not a regular petition. Because you look at a picture, the people line up, they're orderly, and they're not youngsters. They're not students. They are like in their 50s, 40s, 50s, 60s. And those have family. So this is not a regular petition.
Hold that thought, Dr. Chen. I hate to interrupt right in the middle. We have to take a really quick break, and we'll come right back. Our guest is Dr. Shezong Chen. You are listening to We the People, and you can find us at wethepeopleradio.us.
Welcome back, my friends, to the show that never ends. We're so glad you could attend. Come inside, come inside. There behind the glass stands a real blade of grass. Be careful as you pass. Move along, move along. Come inside, the show's about to start. Guaranteed to blow your head apart.
And I should remind you that we have archives that stretch back like 10 years. So if you go to the website, you can listen to all of those free of charge, and they are also commercial free. So save you some time, and you can learn some new stuff. All right, Dr. Chen. I think that you were describing what I think everyone would say is actually a peaceful protest.
It's a peaceful protest, but then it was an appeal just tell the government to leave them alone, to give them the freedom of the right to be moral, spiritual freedom. So anyway, so I'll continue on how I came to know Falun Gong since because of that. So that weekend, several of us, friend, we went to a Chinese market for shopping, and there I saw a post about Falun Gong, and then on the post it says truth, benevolence, and forbearance. And this was the third time I came across the idea or the word of Falun Gong. The first time was, of course, on April 25th, and then the international media report. And this is the third time, but this is the first time I saw three words, truth, benevolence, and forbearance. And supposedly, these are the principles of Falun Gong. And I thought, and I didn't think much about forbearance or tolerance at that time. I said, well, given how much I know about CCP, the destruction it has done to my country, I just didn't have the way to do it. If I had a way to do it, I'll bring in, you know, whatever, a bomb or a AK-47 and go to the CCP headquarters to throw out all those bastards. So I didn't care about benevolence at that time, but still, I was curious enough to bought, because there was a Chinese newspaper at the Chinese supermarket. So I went to the newspaper stand and bought all issues that that has the three words of Falun Gong in them. And so I start right away. And what shocked me first is about the Falun Gong itself, that the founder of Falun Gong, Mr. Li Hongzhi, required his disciples, ask his disciples to be good person, to be a moral person. And there were 100 million Chinese people practicing Falun Gong. With my understanding at that time about the Chinese society, this was just complete the opposite of my perception, my understanding at that time, because I thought at that time if there were people in Beijing teaching people how to cheat, rob, kill, I have no problem imagining 100 million people following him to learn that. But to teach people to be moral, to be self-disciplined, it was out of my imagination. But then I read those reports in Houston, in Taiwan, in New York, in other places. So many Falun Gong practitioners are doing volunteer work to teach others to be good people, to teach others about Falun Gong, to donate money to good causes. And to me, those were not what I understood at that time about Chinese people. And, of course, then some obviously is also true, because many reporters, Chinese reporters, they try to rationalize about this. They say, okay, the reason Falun Gong becomes so popular with, you know, all this is because it's very pragmatic. Because Falun Gong is free of charge, and the practice Falun Gong will help people to get rid of disease. They would heal the illness, right? And I didn't buy that. Because, yes, it's pragmatic to cure illness. But it's not at all pragmatic to donate money for public affairs, to public wellness, to good causes, right? And with so many people voluntarily telling other people or teaching other people about exercise, you know, it would be very strange, or it would be very difficult to maintain the same. You know, if you teach one person, you will deviate a little bit, and then the next one, you'll deviate a little bit. And then I was curious, how when this starts from one person to 100 million people without it being deviated in one way or another. And then I also read about state, interviewed so many people who went to Beijing to participate in the petition, because April 25th is dangerously close to June 4th, an event that the CCP is very sensitive to and use all forces to suppress. Right? So being so close to it, the reporter asked him, didn't you think about to have this protest would be dangerous? And they all say no. And they're all, these people are like, I said earlier, those are in their mid-40s to 60s. They are mature people. They are not young students. They have family. So when all of them say they didn't think about it, So it must be true that he really didn't think about this as dangerous. And how is that achieved? So with all this, I put a long story short, I realized this is something very unusual. It's exceptional. And then as I read more of this report, and in one of the reports, a reporter interviewed founder of Falun Gong himself, Mr. Li Hongzhi. And in the interview, Mr. Li Hongzhi claimed that he came from the same spirit as Jesus and Sakyamuni. And he claimed he came to teach people about the cosmos or the universe's principle. And I recall that Bible says 2,000 years later, the vine would come back. But I didn't remember that this teaching said they would come to China. They would come back to China. And Jesus didn't say he came from the same place as Sakyamuni. And so when Mr. Li said he came from the same place, same spirit from Jesus and Sakyamuni, and I said, okay, those three must come from the same place. What is that place? But anyway, so to make a long story short, those are the questions that caused me to think. And this is what I said, you know, a important event for me to rethink all these things. And I don't want to go through the whole thinking process, but it was those, just by reading all those, I digest all those reports, and I realized this is something unusual. I was a scientist. I didn't believe in anything non-scientific. But from this, I realized this is something non-scientific, and I have to believe in it. So I found Falun practitioner and borrowed the textbook, the main text of Falun Gong, Zhang Fengwen, and I read it overnight. I finished and was startled. I was talking to another friend of mine who also read the book, and I said, I cannot understand. And that's what I said. I said, how did the CCP allow Falun Gong to be taught for 7 years to the extent of 100 million people? At that time I already knew that sooner or later the CCP is going to persecute Falun Gong, and I'm going to become one of them to be persecuted. And so at that time I became a Falun Gong practitioner with the understanding. Now the persecution didn't start at that, it hasn't started, but it was with that mental readiness, predicting that the persecution is going to come. I again practice Falun Gong. I guess many people, when they come to Falun Gong, they had no fear. And I was one of them. But what brought me to Falun Gong was this April 25th peaceful demonstration. And later I found out there are many people like me, because before April 25th, Falun Gong is a teaching, remained mainly in China. But because of that, international media report about it, and there are a lot more people know about it. It becomes a global event. And so that is something personal to me. Now, I want to go back to, now I want to go, having covered that, I want to go back to Bill's question. Why? why is the Chinese government so sensitive about it, so, you know, fearful of it? And mainly two reasons. But the most fundamental reason is that the communist dictatorships are not only just a monopoly of power, but it actually dictates people's thought. They want to control everything about you. And they view Marxism or their idea the only truth or only thought that's allowed by people. So they provide all moral guidance, and they have been brainwashing the whole country from actually even before 1949 when they came to power. In their, they control certain regions. In those regions, they have been brainwashing people since 1931 or even, you know, 19, small regions even earlier than that. But when they took over China from 1949, there was this whole country brainwashing. And they have been brainwashing people for, by 1999, exactly half a century. And they thought they were very successful. But then here comes Falun Gong, and 100 million people look towards Falun Gong for their moral guidance. This affronts those dictators. Dictators, and they cannot accept it.
Yeah, when you have 100 million people all on the same page in the opposition, that's more than formidable, I would say. We've got to take another really quick break. We'll be right back with our guest, Dr. Shezong Chen. We're discussing the Falun Gong today, this morning, and you can find us at wethepeopleradio.us.
I'm leaving doubt and sorrow in the distance. I'm gonna trust and cast my fears aside. My life's a work that I know you'll finish. I know I'm gonna be alright. It's you I'll chase, even when I can't see your face. No matter how many skies fall down, I'm covered under the peace I've found. You're my shelter.
Dr. Chen, seems like an hour blows by pretty quickly on topics like this. I'll let you continue on with your story, but I do want to know before we close out, I do think Falun Gong is getting bigger rather than smaller, yeah, despite the persecution. Is that correct?
It is getting bigger.
So much for the persecution shutting them down.
It's actually getting bigger from the beginning. Persecution, although it's the most vicious persecution that, you know, we have covered about organ harvesting, but the tide has long turned. There seems to be, throughout its history of ruling China, has never failed a persecution, except this one, the one against Falun Gong. And at the beginning, when it starts its persecution, it was so confident that it claimed it will completely solve the Falun Gong problem, meaning you will eradicate Falun Gong. And Jiang Zemin, the head of CC at that time, was so confident about this that he actually went around the globe carrying with him his pamphlet about, you know, his achievement of persecuting Falun Gong. Later, he would say that international criticism towards China's persecution of Falun Gong is interference in internal affairs. He was the one. He was the one that brought Falun Gong issue to the international society. Anyway, that was how arrogant he was. So, by the first month of persecution, habitually, right, the CCP newspaper claimed that we had achieved a fundamental victory against Falun Gong. 98% of Falun Gong practitioners have been transformed, basically. They've been forced to renounce Falun Gong. Right? But that 98% stayed there forever. I have never seen 98%, 98.1 or 99%, right? And then so each month they would claim they have achieved fundamental victory. But then after a year it becomes strange. How come you have been continually achieving? Talk about it, and soon they found this unattainable or embarrassing position where the more they claim their victory, the more they at the same time, they serve to announce that Falun Gong still stands, still exists. And so, after this first and second year, they have to turn their persecution upside, you know, underground. And so, the tide has turned, and this is the first and only persecution so far that it has failed, and Falun Gong has become stronger. More and more people know about it, and that is actually the power of righteous teaching. And in that sense, the CCP was right that, and I was right when I said, you know, when I first read the book, I said, how did the CCP allow it to spread for 7 years? I meant, what I was thinking is, I was the head of the CCP, but I would have nipped the butt at the first moment. Right? It would be too late. Right? It was too late. And so, but the disease of communism is also at the same time spreading. And this is becoming a global, what started out in 1999, the conflict between goodness and evil, truth and lie, love and hate, has now extended globally. Then this is a historical event that we cannot just think at the level of human activity. I think this is a involvement with a higher realm. Now, what do I mean by higher realm? I think all religion, all faith, involve a higher realm and a lower realm. The lower realm and the middle realm will be human, right? The lower realm will be hell and terrible places. Higher realm will be heaven and beautiful places. And we humans have a choice. to go to the higher room or go to the room, the lower room. And it depends on what path they follow, what teaching they follow. And this is unfolding at the global scale. When we talk about globalization, you know, that's human ingenuity. But evil, goodness, those are global to begin with. And what we're seeing in this country actually reflect or similar, in my eyes, similar to what has been unfolding in China. For a long time, to the United Nations, to my letter to government, to my, you know, in my talk, I have always been saying all the things that the CCP has used against Falun Gong, they would eventually use against all other people. So that was what I said then, but that I was only talking about inside China. Now I must expand that statement to that to global, to the world, to the United States. Let me just use one example, and I'm going to talk about this until the day when this changed. I want to talk about January 6th. I think the people's gathering in Washington, D.C., this is something so righteous that it should be praised. But now it has been demonized, brushed under the carpet. And actually, I didn't have time to talk about the April 10th petition. Was also set up by the CCP. The practitioners went to Beijing to the state petition office. They did not go there to, like, what the international media later say, siege the CCP compound, the headquarters. Anybody go to the CCP headquarters, now stand there, around near there for 10 minutes. Right. Anybody try that? I'm sure if thieves would come by and interrogate you. 10,000 people sieging the CCP headquarters? No. That was set up by the police. They guided all the people to petition to the petition office. They guided them to the CCP headquarters. Right, so it was a setup. The January 6th event in the Congress, right, or what happened in Congress, was also a setup. But unfortunately, this country, I mean U.S., did not, so far, still do not have the courage to write that wrongful claim that people dare to do rioting. I'm going to talk about this until this gets changed. And so it was a setup. I say that was a righteous event, and that the fake media, the wrongful charges that the CCP has used against Falun Gong, now communism around the world are using the same thing against all others that are righteous. So this struggle or conflict between righteous and evil, truth and lie, you know, we have fake media then. Falun Gong practitioner was the first victims of fake media. What happened to them now is happening other places, including this country. And so this is why I say that this is becoming a global event. Mm-hmm. And we will soon, things are happening so quickly that we will soon that where this would go. And Hong Kong will be talked more and more. Very quickly. I guess, Aaron, you didn't know about Falun Gong maybe a few years ago. Now in your program, you start talk about Falun Gong. And right now there are attacks against Falun Gong in CNN, NBC, ABC, and that, right? But I think those attacks against Falun Gong will, in a way, serve as a way to letting more people to know about Falun Gong. And this is contrary to what they intended.
Because you're not allowed to have any type of religious practice in China, correct? The CCP doesn't allow anything. So it isn't like the Falun Gong is flying in the face of the state religion. The state religion is communism.
Right. Yeah. The state religion is communism. It came from not China. It came from Europe. It's not Chinese. And what the thing that the CCP is most afraid of is that Falun Gong actually came from China.
Interesting. A belief from China, yeah. Going against belief that has come into the country from elsewhere. Huh.
Yeah.
It's scary for people who want total control.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think this is, in a way, this is coming to the United States as well. What is going on in this country are not traditionally here, are not American. These are, again, the political correctness was not what's traditional America.
Yeah, well, it's mirroring what's happened in China with the woke crowd, you know, basically canceling out anybody that doesn't agree with
them.
You've
got to control everything people say. You've got to control everything they think.
You've got to control religion. They're going after all of it.
Yeah, we hope that one day we'll have a program talk about political correctness. Yeah.
Will there be anything to say?
Well, we need to fully disclose what it is, because people still do not know why they call it political correctness. It's political correct, but it's morally wrong.
Yeah, that's a good point. We've called it political correctness for so long, it makes it actually sound like it's a
good thing.
It's okay.
Yeah.
Dr. Chen, we've run out of time. Thank you so much for sharing with us, and we're happy to bring light to the issue for the Falun Gong worldwide. So I hope people will go do a little bit of reading. It's important, and it parallels things going on here. Thank you very much. We'll be right back. The second hour, we are going to be talking about the dictatorship of woke capital.